Well, you made it. It's day number 10, and this is Tony Robbins here with you again for a brief session today on something we call rules. Rules are those commands within our own consciousness. That sounds kind of bizarre, but what I mean are belief systems we have about what we must do in order to accomplish something, or what we must not do, or what we must never do, or what we should or should not do. What the heck am I talking about here? Well, I found out a long time ago that people have standards in their lives, and there's certain standards they never seem to violate, and yet other standards will violate in a heartbeat. For example, when we think of the area of health, what's something you must never, ever do, according to yourself? Your rule for life, your rule for being, what's something you must never do? You might say to me, well, Tony, I must never smoke cigarettes, or I must never use drugs. My question to you is, do you ever do that? And if it's a must never for you, I'd be willing to bet large sums of capital you do not violate this. However, there are lots of things you know you ought not to do, but you still do them. They're kind of against your own rules, aren't they? They're against your own standards. Like maybe you overeat some of the time, or maybe eat chocolate when you know it's not really good for you, or maybe you're taking some sugar, or you're taking too much fat, and you really know it's something you ought not to do, but you still do it. Why do you do it? Is that a must never for you, or how would you language it? Most people language the rules that they'll break as shoulds. You know, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't probably eat this. I probably shouldn't eat this much. I shouldn't. Or they say, I should exercise more. You know, I should eat more fruit. I should eat more vegetables. But they just should all over themselves again. They don't actually change. Now, what's interesting is we don't feel good about breaking our rules, but we still break them. The must nevers or the must always of our life, we tend to follow through on. Now, this may sound like semantics, but I think what you're going to find is that each of us inside ourselves have some rules that if we break them, we link too much pain to be willing to break them. Like, you know, the idea for some people of ever doing drugs, I know for me personally, that's a must never for me. I just have never done it. I never will. It's an absolute, I mean, to me, that is like absolutely losing control of my life, having no consciousness, no awareness. I'm not making anybody else wrong for doing it, but for me, I've never done it because I just link too much pain to it. I mean, why would I risk my body and my mind for some chemical, especially when I can feel good without any of that stuff? So for me, there's just too much pain to it. But there are some shoulds that I violated. I shouldn't overeat, but I do at times. You know, I should get more sleep, but I don't usually, and I don't feel great about it. Sometimes, you know, I go too many days in a row with 3 or 4 hours sleep, maybe 5 at the outside, and I don't feel great. And I say, I should do that. It's not until I say, I must get 6 or 7 hours that I actually do. So what's important about this? What's important is to discover what are your rules and maybe make some changes. I'll give you an example. We all have rules for what it would take to be fit and healthy and alive. We all have rules for what it would take to stay the way we are. We have rules for what it would take to be fat, for that matter. We unconsciously know the rules of the game. And we have rules for almost everything in life. I'll never forget when I first started making this distinction about rules, I went around asking people questions all the time, like, what must you do to be a good chiropractor? What should you do? What will you do? What can you do? And I noticed that people had these different categories of beliefs that guided their behaviors. I'll never forget one time I asked my second youngest son, Joshua, his rules. We were in the car, and I said, Josh, what must a mom really do or be for her son? We have rules even at this level. In fact, if you're not happy with your parents or they're not happy with you, you're probably violating their rules or vice versa. But he said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, what's really most important? What must a mom do or be for her son? He said, well, mom must love her son. A mom must care about her son. A mom must be her son's best friend. I thought, isn't that neat? I said, what must a mom never do or be? He said, a mom must never hurt her son on purpose. I said, I said, what else must a mom do? He said, a mom must tickle son's feet every day she's home. I started laughing. I said, what? That's a must? He said, yeah. And you know what it turned out? Becky has tickled Joshua's feet since he was a baby, and he links love to that. So that's a major must for him. I said, what should a mom do? He said, well, mom should help her son with his math. And he went through a whole different set of shoulds. In other words, these are the things that she sometimes did, many times didn't do, but he wasn't all that upset about it. These were different sets of rules. I then turned around and said, what must the father do or be for his son? And he gave me a different set of rules. Some of them were the same. You must love him and so forth. I said, what should a dad do? He said, dad shouldn't do his son's homework for him. I said, why not? He said, because someday he's going to have to do it for himself. I thought that was pretty bright of him at such a young age, but we have certain rules. And I turned to him and I said, well, what must a son do or be for his parents? He gave me all his must. He must love his parents. He must you know, be a good example for the other kids in the family. He must. And he went through this really neat list. And he was just this young boy. But he had these rules already in his head. I said, what must a son never do or be? He said, well, a son must never come home drunk. I couldn't believe it. This little guy here has already got this inside his head. I said, that's a great rule. It's not a should not, it's a must not. I said, what else must a son never do or be? He said, a son must never commit suicide. And Becky and I couldn't believe it. We looked at each other. We didn't know what to say. We were like shocked. And I thought, well, isn't that great? That's a must for him. A must never, not a should never. See, the musts versus the shoulds in our lives, those differences in rules shape our lives. And let's look at it from a standpoint of pure health. I ask somebody, and I do this very often in my Date with Destiny seminars. I bring people up on stage, and I'll take somebody up there. I'll say, who here is somebody who has major problems losing weight, and you can never get yourself to do it? And I'll get somebody who's major overweight, we'll bring him up on stage, and I'll say, okay, we're going to make a list. And I draw a line down the page, and I said, tell me what your body's like right now. And so they'll describe it. Well, I'm overweight. By how much? How do you feel? Well, I feel like I got this sagging fat. I have a hard time sitting, you know, in chairs very often. I have a hard time certainly on an airplane. You know, I sweat a lot. I just feel uncomfortable. I feel like people notice me. It's okay. And I get them really associated to how terrible their current state is. And by the way, you're going to do the same thing I'm describing right now, so you might want to really pay attention to what I'm talking about. First step, you're going to identify where you are. Then I say, well, tell me, what is the state you really want to be in? Describe it in detail so it's compelling. And on the other side of the page, where I drew the line down the middle, they'll describe how they want to be in detail. Well, I want to be thinner. I said, well, that's not good enough. Let's be specific. And they say, well, I want to be 40 pounds thinner. I said, well, what I want to know is what's the state you want to be in? Well, I want to weigh 160 pounds instead of 210 pounds. Great. So 160 pounds. How else are you going to describe yourself? I want to be fit. I want to be healthy. I want to be vital. I want to have more energy. I want to be able to get in a great outfit and be able to go to the beach and feel strong. I want to have more muscle on my body. And I get them to describe it both from a physical standpoint, from an emotional standpoint, so that it's really compelling. So what do we have? We have the current state on one side of the page, and on the right-hand side, we have the target state. I say, okay, let's go back to the current state. And I'll ask them, what must you do right now? I don't mean what you need to do in the future, but right now, what are your real rules? What must you do to be healthy? I'll never forget one particular guy that we had as an example. His nickname was Maestro, and he was just a phenomenal human being, but he weighed, I don't know what the weight was, but he was at least 60 or 70 pounds overweight. We brought him up to the front of the room and tried to sit down in the chair, and he was pretty uncomfortable. And I said to him, what must you do or be in order to be this person? And I pointed to the description of being overweight massively, not having energy, feeling tired all the time, not feeling in control, et cetera, et cetera. I said, right now in your life, what are your rules to be healthy? I mean, what must you do every day to be healthy? Not like the guy you want to be, but just what are you really living by? He said, well, I don't know. I said, well, really, what must you do to be healthy? Think about it. He said, well, I must eat and I must sleep. I said, anything else? He said, no, that's it. That's what I must do. I must eat and I must sleep to be healthy. Now, if those are your only musts in life, you're in trouble. I said, well, what should you do to be healthy? He said, well, I should get up every day and exercise. I should do aerobic exercise. I should eat higher water content foods. He'd read my book. He knew what he needed to do. I should properly combine my foods. I mean, he knew exactly what to do, but they were all his shoulds. So he very rarely lived by them. He felt bad about it. They were rules he had. They were standards for his life. But since they were shoulds, there were not enough pain in not following these rules. So he broke them. He only had two musts. I said, what must you never do? He said, I must never do drugs. I must never use drugs. And I said, do you? He said, no. I said, what shouldn't you do? He went to the shouldn'ts. Well, I shouldn't overeat. I shouldn't feel lazy. I shouldn't eat lots of fat. I shouldn't. I said, do you do those things? He went, yeah. He felt terrible. So, you know what? All you have to do is change the shoulds to some musts. And that's what I did with him. In fact, the very first person I ever did this with had this whole list of shoulds. I said, let's just take one should and make it a must. Which one? And he picked, I should not overeat. When he made that, I must not overeat. I must eat appropriate amounts of food. How do we make that? He held a new standard. He said, I'm going to live by the standard no matter what. He told everybody else about it. He got leverage on himself. He started to associate not doing this as costing his relationship. That'll give you some pain. And that doing it would give him more pleasure. Totally changed this man. This man lost 40 pounds in a period of 6 weeks just by changing one rule. Well, this gentleman, Maestro, we changed a lot more than one rule. What we found was really interesting. Here's a guy who's got only a couple of musts and tons of shoulds. And so right up beside him on the stage, I said, who here in this room thinks they have a fabulous body and you're humble about it? who here really seriously is proud of your body, and you've stayed consistently in peak shape for most of your life? So one woman raised her hand. I brought her up on stage. I got her to describe her current state. And then I said to her, great, what must you do to be healthy? Well, she had this huge list of musts. She said, well, I must exercise every single day. I said, how? She said, I must do aerobic exercise at least 30 minutes at my heart rate. I thought, wow, she's got a specific plan. No wonder. I said, what else must you do? She said, I must eat foods that are nutritious and alive. I said, what does that mean specifically? She said, I must have a salad every meal. I must eat lots of fruits and vegetables. I must drink lots of fruit juices. She said, I must not eat massive amounts of fat. I said, what's massive amounts? She said, if my fat intake is more than 40% of my diet, I'm in deep trouble. I must not do that. It's got to be in the 25% range. I thought, interesting. And we went on and on and on. And you know what? She had a very specific set of musts about eating. She even had a set of musts about laughing every day. That I must smile every day or laugh. That's part of being healthy. Now, what should you do to be healthy? She said, should? I said, yeah, well, what should you do? She said, well, I guess I should exercise more. What else should you do? Well, maybe I should eat more fruits or vegetables. And she had no shoulds, all musts. And it was obvious. She looked at her body, and the difference between these two people was major. So how does this relate to you? Well, the first step to creating a change is discovering what your current rules are. You probably have a small number of musts and a lot of shoulds if you're not in the shape you want to be in. And you know what? If you want to be in shape, you got to have more musts and fewer shoulds. You got to reverse the order. Now, first step is awareness. Let me tell you another step. Awareness of your beliefs. I asked this gentleman, Maestro, well, what must you believe to stay overweight? That's an interesting question. A question you might want to answer. He said, wow. He said, I guess I must believe that I can't really change. I thought, isn't that interesting? What else must you believe to stay overweight? He said, I must believe that eating differently wouldn't change it anyway. I said, what else must you believe? He said, I must believe that by being fat, I won't get rejected. I said, what? I said, don't people reject you because you're fat? He said, well, yeah, but they're rejecting my fat. They're not rejecting me. He said, at least by being fat, they're rejecting the fat, and I've got a reason for them to reject me. Isn't that fascinating? See, now he saw it as not being rejected personally, that there was a reason for it. If he wasn't fat, he felt like he'd be rejected, and he would take that so personally that that would destroy him. So fat was like a way to keep himself out of pain. It makes no sense, but it was the way it was set up, the way he wired himself. I said, what else must you believe? He said, I guess I must believe that if you're into being thin and so forth, then you're being really shallow, and that by being fat, what I'm being is really more spiritual. I said, really? I said, do you think God is fat? He looked at me, his eyes got really big, and he said, no. I said, did God make you fat? I said, were you fat to start out with? Did you come out like a really fat baby? Did you weigh like 200 pounds or something? He started laughing. He said, no. I said, then I'm confused. I said, I think God takes fat people and sticks them on a skewer and roasts them over hell. What do you think? And I just tried to break his pattern. His eyes got real big, and then all of a sudden he started to giggle because he saw I was just making fun and teasing, just trying to break his pattern. And he started laughing like crazy. I said, next time you start pushing that shopping cart in that area where all that fat is, I want you to just imagine being above there in a skewer and having God spinning you around above hell. I said, you think that might change it? If you pictured that, you think you'd feel a little different? And he started giggling like crazy. He got the giggles. That's all it took. I broke his pattern enough and gave him a picture that was somewhat compelling. The point of the matter is we kept interrupting his pattern, and I'm not going to tell you the entire story of what we did, but we spent a good hour. And in the process, I began asking him new questions. I said, this target person, this person who weighs whatever the number of weight was, I've forgotten what it was, this weight, who's thin and vital and alive and can help people and make a difference and feels energized and passionate and strong. I said, describe, what must this person do every single day? What must they believe about themselves? And you know what was interesting? He said, well, they must exercise each day. They must do that. And he came up with a very specific plan. And it was his plan. I said, what must they believe? He said, they must believe that being fat is not being spiritual. That being fat is abusing the temple. Wow, how's that for a different belief? I said, what else must you believe? Must believe that if you're fat, that what you're really doing is you're pushing people away from yourself. And I love people. I want to be connected. What else? He said, you have to believe that you're worth it, that you're worth eating right, you're worth exercising. He said, I believe that now. You know what's fascinating? As you make a list of all the things you must do and believe in order to stay the way you are, and you compare it to a list of all the things you must do or believe in order to be the way you want to be, most people discover that what they really believe in the heart of hearts is lined up with the kind of person they want to be instead of the person they are currently physically. I know this may sound complex to describe verbally, but in your workbook today, we're actually describing to you how to do it. And it'll be very, very clear for you. Again, all you're going to do is you're going to describe what's your current state and make it painful. Currently, I'm overweight at this level. Currently, I feel this way emotionally. Currently, this is difficult to do. Sometimes I feel alone. Describe it mentally, physically, and emotionally, your current state. Then jump out of that state and describe how you want to be with passion. Here's how I want to be physically. Here's what my energy is like. Here's how I want to be life of the party. Here's how I want to be in terms of my energy. Here's how I want to feel about myself. Here's what I want to wear. So now you got two different states with a line down the middle. And the first step, I'll guide you through it. All you're going to do is you're going to say, okay, what must I do or believe in order to stay overweight? In order to stay fat? In order to stay this person who's this much overweight, who has this kind of problem, what must I do or believe? And just write down whatever comes in your mind. Well, I must not exercise consistently. I must not this. I must not this. I must not that. I must do this. I must overeat. I must keep telling myself it's not that bad. I must eat fatty foods. Be honest with yourself. I must believe that it's not going to matter anyway. I must believe it's never going to turn around. I must believe it's okay to be overweight. I must rationalize. Be honest with yourself. Make a long list. And by the way, your goal is to make it painful. Then stop over the other list and say, okay, to be this great person I want to be and put yourself in a peak state feeling great, to be this kind of person, what must I do or believe each day? I must exercise this way. I must do this. I must do this. I must believe that I'm worth it. I must believe that whatever I put in my body is either clogging me or cleansing me, that whatever I put in my body is either getting me to be stronger or to be weaker, that what I must believe, and just go through your list. As you do this, you'll gradually begin to feel an identity change. What I mean by that is, as you look at the list of things describing how you are right now, like what you must do and what you must believe, you're going to go, that's not me. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not the kind of person who rationalizes. I'm not the kind of person who says it doesn't matter. I'm not the kind of person who says I'm not worth it. And when you look at the list of how you want to be and what the beliefs and rules are, they're going to go, that's me. And you know what? It won't just be an intellectual process. You'll find it'll affect your subconscious thinking. It'll affect the way your brain approaches food in the future. Now, again, I know it can sound complex, but there's no right or wrong on this. You can't fail at this exercise. All it is teaching your brain the consequences of various rules and which rules you want to adopt. So what's our goal today? Very simple. We want to discover what are our musts and what are our should rules around eating, exercise, and what we've got to believe in order to stay the way we are versus become the person we're committed to becoming. And by the way, you can use this same process. I call it a rules realignment. The same process to begin to deal with other areas of your life. If there's something else, that there's a state you don't like you're smoking and you want to go to a new state, or you feel like fearful about things and you want to feel strong, I can tell you this. When you become absolutely clear on the differences between what you must do and believe in order to stay the way you are versus to become the person you want, the plan is in front of you, and you will find it compelling and real because you will have created it. So again, I've tried to describe it verbally. In your workbook, just go to work and don't allow yourself to go, oh, this is too complex. Don't allow yourself to say, oh, I don't know how to do this. Just follow the simple steps in the workbook, and I think you'll find it absolutely invaluable. And make one commitment. No matter what happens, if you make one distinction, that is, if you just learn a little bit about what your rules are, you just learn a little bit about what you used to believe or what you used to do to stay overweight and what you could do to change, the exercise is successful. What I'm really trying to do is stimulate your unconscious mind, that part of your brain that makes your heart beat 100,000 times a day without having to think about it. Describe the state of where you are currently. Describe the state of where you want to be. And find out what are your musts under each one of those. This awareness can change your life. So be sure to do the exercise. Don't put it off. And it can actually be a whole lot of fun. So I'm about to turn you over to Dr. Nate Booth. But before I do, I just want to again compliment you. Think about how much you've already applied. And make sure you're catching yourself doing things right. If you're not doing everything perfect, you don't have to do it all to be perfect. All you have to do is apply a few of these key distinctions we've shared with you, and you're going to change your entire life. So congratulations on your progress. Catch yourself doing things right. And until I visit with you tomorrow, remember to live with passion.
Thanks again, Tony. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, I hear and I forget. I see and I remember. I do and I understand. Congratulations on being a doer, sticking with this program, getting yourself on the playing field and taking action. As Tony often says, you're one of the few who do. Most people sit on the bench and watch life go by. It's more challenging and fun being out there in the action, isn't it? The first thing today, let's move on to what I call the Girl Scout cookie syndrome. Every spring, the Girl Scouts sell lots of cookies. Unfortunately, they come in those little trays where you can see exactly how many cookies you've eaten and how many cookies are left to go. This leads to a breakout of the Girl Scout cookie syndrome that sweeps the country every spring. Here's a typical case history. Stan Evans has just had 6 boxes of Fudge on Fudge caramel dips delivered to his house. He puts them in the cupboard and vows to eat 3 cookies a day for the next 60 days. Now the syndrome begins. He eats his 3 cookies for today and then decides to use up his quota for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday also. Then Stan feels the second stage hit. He feels the 3 D's. Discouraged, down, and depressed. And finally, the third stage occurs. He snarfs down the rest of the box and quickly throws away the evidence as he opens a second box. Stan made the mistake that many overweight people make. He made himself feel discouraged, down, and depressed, in other words, a negative consequence, after he overate. That negative consequence created a new counterfeit cue, and the new cue started the behavior chain all over again. This vicious cycle can occur for hours or days, and it's better known as a binge. Right now, take out your workbook and take a look at the binge diagram in the Day 9 section. As the example with Stan illustrates, punishing yourself for undesirable eating behavior usually backfires. Remember Sparky and slobbering on the carpet? It's the same kind of thing here. You end up getting more of the very behavior you want to stop. It's much better to reward yourself or have others provide rewards to you for goal-directed behaviors that get you to where you want to go. This is the third place that you can break that behavior chain. You can provide yourself rewards for doing it right. A reward for maintaining a desired behavior can be almost anything as long as you find it pleasurable. Remember, it's got to be pleasurable, it's got to be legal, it's got to be moral and non-fattening. Rewards can consist of doing preferred activities such as reading a book or going to a movie or going for a walk, or thinking positive thoughts such as "I knew I could do it" or "I'm going to make it this time," or imagining pleasant events such as taking an imaginary trip to the beach. As you might expect, rewards are really individualized. A reward for you might not be a reward for somebody else. When you do read your workbook today, you'll notice in the review section that we have a list of possible rewards that you can use. Use these rewards. Use them on a variable and a fixed schedule to reward your behavior for doing it right. A great way to formalize the reward process is to make a verbal or written agreement with someone. Here's what you do. You basically set up in advance what you're going to receive after doing a certain amount of eating and exercise behavior over a certain period of time. As an example, make an agreement with your spouse to take a weekend trip to a favorite place if you eat according to the principles and burn maybe an extra 1,200 calories per week for the next 4 weeks with exercise. Be sure to reward appropriate behavior and not weight loss as shown by your bathroom scale. When you reward yourself for the pounds you've lost shown by the scale, it can lead to drastic, self-defeating, last-minute measures to meet your fat loss goal. Have you ever gone to one of those programs where they weigh you in weekly? What do you do for the day, 2 days, 3 days before the weigh-in? Some pretty strange stuff. This isn't what you want to do. You want to be a behavior watcher, not a weight watcher as shown by the scale. And finally today, complete your eating and exercise log and your eating diary. This will be the most important minute or two you'll spend this entire day. Also be sure to do your 10 breaths 3 times a day and set aside some time tomorrow to listen to your audio tapes and complete the exercises in your workbook. The quote for today comes from Winston Churchill. Here's what he said: "The empires of the future are the empires of the mind." This is another way of saying that you'll see it when you believe it. In your mind first. Your rock-solid identity as a trim and healthy person will create the future you desire, because where thought goes, energy flows. Keep your energy flowing and keep that momentum going.